T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Wichita City Council approves a design build team for a new stadium. We've got the story.
I'm Steve Boyer. Wichita police have made an arrest in the South Side shooting yesterday.
President Trump and Democrats clash over border wall. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Ann Holiday. Another clear and quiet morning across South Central Kansas. The big changes are on the way tonight and tomorrow. Our complete forecast in just a few minutes.
The clock is ticking with the threat of a partial government shutdown possible right before Christmas.
After President Trump had an Oval Office showdown with Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer and House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi, Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy says he thinks the president is willing to risk a partial government shutdown.
I think he's going to do it. I believe that for some time. I'm prepared to be here through Christmas.
Delaware Democrat Senator Chris Coons says the timing would be lousy.
Shutting down the government in a fit of pique over whether he gets $1.5 billion more or $5 billion more for a wall where they haven't spent the current year's appropriations yet strikes me as exactly the sort of Grinch-stealing Christmas move that will not go over well with the American people.
On Capitol Hill, Mike Emanuel, Fox News.
After tabling the issue last week, the Wichita City Council took a vote on the design-build contract for the new downtown stadium.
The council used the extra week to make minor corrections to the contract. The city voted unanimously to select the team of J.E. Dunn Eby. The city will use a design-build approach to the project, shortening the schedule by overlapping the design and construction phases. The city has used this approach before, including the demolition of the old airport terminal. After the votes were counted, Mayor Jeff Longwell congratulated the winning team and jokingly reminded them,
"Remember, there's 24 hours in a day."
I know, Mayor. I want to know why they're still sitting here.
I know. You'd think they would have ran out.
The mayor was referring to the tight deadline the city faces. Construction will start early next year and must be completed by mid-March 2020. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Wichita police have made an arrest, this after a shooting on the city's south side.
Police say 59-year-old Richard Fagan has been charged with attempted first-degree murder, possession of a firearm by a felon, and an outstanding warrant. Investigators say he approached a 36-year-old man and a 25-year-old woman in a wooded area near Hydraulic and I-135 and shot the man with a shotgun after a verbal dispute. The three were homeless and staying in the area. Fagan was located and taken into custody without incident. Police say this is not a random incident. Steve Boyer, KNSS News.
A 36-year-old man from Garden City is facing serious charges after police say he fled in a vehicle with his three young children inside. Officers who were called Monday night to a domestic dispute saw a vehicle driven by Billy Mondragon speeding away from the scene. After the vehicle rolled, police found the children, ages 2 years, 1 year, and 1.5 months, were not properly restrained. Those kids were treated for minor injuries and released.
Sedgwick County Commissioners will discuss their 2019 legislative agenda at their meeting this morning.
The agenda is broken down into three areas: key initiatives, behavioral health initiatives, and secondary initiatives. One of the key initiatives to be discussed is a measure that will allow voters to vote at any polling place in the county if the voting machines are technologically capable. That would include having voting locations designated as vote centers, where voters could avoid having to cast a provisional ballot. Another measure would oppose legislation that would artificially limit or alter property tax violations. The meeting starts at 9 a.m. on the third floor of the county courthouse at Central and Main. The meeting is open to the public. Gordon Basham, KNSS News.
KNSS News time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Wichita State basketball tonight at Coke Arena. We'll hear from Coach Marshall, get a preview coming up in sports.
Stormy Daniels ordered to pay President Trump's legal fees. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted, now 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. Kansas Senator Jerry Moran says he will support speeding up a vote on ending U.S. military involvement in a war led by Saudi Arabia in Yemen. Now, the Kansas Republican says he supports a procedural step to move a resolution ending U.S. involvement toward final passage. The resolution is a rebuke to Saudi Arabia over its role in journalist Jamal Khashoggi's murder. The adult film star, who was pursuing a defamation case against President Trump, has been ordered to pay his legal fees.
A judge in Los Angeles says Stormy Daniels, a.k.a. Stephanie Clifford, has to pay President Trump $293,000 for lawyer fees and $1,000 in sanctions. Far less than the president's attorney had asked for, but still. Her attorney, Michael Avenatti, says the order will not hold on appeal. This case Clifford filed was a defamation suit against the president for the time he tweeted that she lied about a man who threatened her. Avenatti says she has a separate case against the president over a non-disclosure agreement between the two, which has to do with the affair she alleges she had with the president back in 2006. The president has denied it. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
A suburb of New York City cracking down on package thieves.
This should make porch pirates think twice before grabbing a package that doesn't belong to them. Police in Jersey City are teaming up with Amazon, placing small GPS devices in dummy boxes, then leaving the packages outside houses in neighborhoods where thefts have already occurred. Police Chief Michael Kelly says the online retailer is also giving the city small surveillance cameras to help identify suspects. He says the plan has the approval of the city prosecutor. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
A parody of Baby It's Cold Outside mocks recent outrage over the original.
The internet-famous Holderness family getting in on the Baby It's Cold Outside controversy, creating a parody of the holiday classic called Baby Just Go Outside, emphasizing consent.
I really can't stay.
Okay, you're free to go.
I've got to go away.
Understood, no means no.
This evening has been
super appropriate.
So the tongue-in-cheek version poking fun of outrage over the original song, with critics calling its lyrics sexist or claiming it promotes date rape. The remix pulling in over 32 million views in less than a day. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Definitely not Dean Martin there. 8:10 now, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock with Steve and Ted.
And this morning we've got a traffic accident. Now this is on Oliver, but it's close to K96. Watch out for a slowdown in the area. Traffic update from KNSS Radio. I'm Jed Chambers.
And now our forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. We are clear and not as cold this morning. It's going to be sunny, near 50 by the time we head to lunch, and 55 for the high this afternoon. Clouds thickening up tonight. Some light rain or drizzle, especially overnight. It's going to become breezy with a low 34. We may see some wet snowflakes mixed in with rain early tomorrow. A windy day with a high 41. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now partly cloudy, calm, and 24 degrees. 8:11 with Steve and Ted. Quite a meeting at the White House yesterday, and they decided to do it live. And the president talking with the two of the Democratic leaders in Congress about the budget and the border wall. And with us this morning, with more on the story, Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. Good morning, Rachel.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, that was quite a scene yesterday in the White House. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it at the Oval Office with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, and the president sitting there bickering over border security while Vice President Mike Pence was practically motionless in the background. Looked like he wanted to be anywhere but there.
I think you're right. We kind of observed that as well. But it seems like I heard it started off fairly cordially, but it came off the tracks pretty quick.
Yeah, it escalated pretty quickly. You had a situation where it eventually came down to Chuck Schumer and President Trump, you know, a guy from Queens and a guy from Brooklyn about ready to take it outside. Schumer saying that it's the president who wants the government shut down, that he and Nancy Pelosi don't want that. The president saying the border security, he's willing to wear it in order to get the wall. The question is, you know, will it hurt his support? And I don't think it will. I think some of the president's supporters would love to see the government shut down. Remember, they want to drain the swamp. And so what this means is that there's a deadline of December 21st at 11:59 p.m. And if they don't come to agreement by then, you'd see a lot of the non-essential personnel go home. They'd be furloughed. eventually they'd be paid. Earlier in the year, you remember in January 20th, there was a government shutdown. It lasted 3 days, and it was over a lot of the same issues, immigration and a fix for the people brought here illegally by their parents, the so-called Dreamers. Shut down for 3 days, and then finally they came to some kind of an agreement with an intention to move forward with another agreement. Then in February, I don't know if you remember, but there was about a 9-hour shutdown, a lapse in spending, that most Americans slept through. So that was another kind of shutdown. Then they were able to pass a longer-term spending bill, but President Trump said he would never sign anything like that again. He didn't like it. He did it holding his nose. So now, here they are on top of the holidays with the threat of this yet again.
Seems like we've been through this a couple of times.
Yes. If it sounds familiar, it's because it is.
Because it is familiar. All right. Thank you. Appreciate your reporting this morning. That's Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland in Washington, D.C. Sounds like they're going eyeball to eyeball to see if the other guy will blink. But interesting. 8:13 now, Steve and Ted here on Wednesday, December 12th, 2018. It was on this date, December 12th, in 2000. That George W. Bush became president-elect as a divided U.S. Supreme Court 5-4 reversed a state court decision for recounts in Florida's contested election. Gosh, Ted, you remember that? Election night came and we still didn't have a winner.
And then six weeks later, we still didn't have a winner.
That was in November. And then they went through all that stuff with counting chads and that guy looking up at the light and all that stuff in Florida. And they still couldn't get it resolved.
No.
Finally, the Supreme Court stepped in and they settled the case. And then again this year, Florida's had some problems. I don't think Florida has apparently they don't know how to do an election.
Whatever the wonderful things that's going on in Broward County is just ridiculous.
They've got Disney World, but they also have somebody from Disneyland. Disney's a very well-run operation. Maybe they should just turn the voting over to Disney and let them run it.
Yeah, it'd be no problem then.
Yeah, it'd be smooth, and you'd have, Snow White would be at the polling place every day. Anyway, that was on this date in 2000. Christmas tree farmers worrying. They're slowly losing ground to the artificial tree. So they're taking to social media this holiday season to persuade Americans to go natural. The Christmas Tree Promotion Board is running an ad campaign on Instagram and Facebook called It's Christmas, Keep It Real, based on other popular agricultural campaigns like Beef, It's What's for Dinner, and Got Milk. Up to 80% of Americans who have a Christmas tree now have an artificial evergreen. 80%, Ted. And the $1 billion market for fake trees is growing at about 4% a year, even though they can be used and reused again and again. So apparently, people are going out and buying new ones all the time. About 25 million evergreens are harvested each year. Presumably, most of those are sold. Americans buy about 10 million artificial trees each year. So it's a profitable
sounds like
venture.
It.
Real or artificial?
I will never buy an artificial tree.
Ted, you're for natural. I've got an artificial tree. This is our second or third one, I think.
So I feel like that about like I do with fake flowers.
Fake flowers, okay.
What's the point? I mean, when you have something real, why something fake?
I can't tell you except the convenience factor is there. I didn't decorate my tree, so my wife did it all. And when those little lights are built into the branches, that makes it a lot easier. Just plug it in.
Wow.
That's for and I don't consider myself a lazy person, but in some ways...
You've just gone right past the hassle there.
I've handed it all off.
You don't have to deal with wires that are tangled up.
Yeah, like that
from last year.
The guy in the Christmas story, Darren McGavin, the dad,
mm-hmm.
where he's dealing with all the all those lights.
The fuses.
Well, that was one of my fuses. One of my better parts that I appreciated that. Although my dad was never like that. I wonder, did your dad ever mess with the cord? I bet your dad didn't decorate.
Nah, we were not in the fuse business.
I bet he didn't decorate outside. Or did he? Mine never did, of course. And my son...
We didn't do a ton back when we were kids. He always decorates outside now.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, he does a nice job decorating outside.
Oh, I did it a couple of years and I said, nope, I'm not going to do that. Am I getting lazy? I guess I do. Around Christmas time, I just don't want to do anything
at all. Well, maybe you're busy.
I'm just too busy, I guess. Yeah, that's it. Coming up on 8:18, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Time for sports with Ted Woodward. And, Ted, we've got some basketball to talk about tonight, right?
Shocker basketball tonight. Coke Arena. The Shocks coming off back-to-back wins at home. Would like to make that three in a row. In come a team, Jacksonville State, who has won five games in a row coming into Coke Arena tonight. Shocks are a seven-point favorite. Let's get a thumbnail on tonight's opponent, the Jacksonville State Gamecocks. Let's get that from Shocker head coach Greg Marshall.
This is going to be an entertaining game. This is a very fast veteran team. They're Muscala played at Tennessee and some really good teams, and their point guard, Ty Hudson, played at Clemson. So they've got some high-level athletes, and you know, we've got our work cut out for us.
Mike Kennedy and Dave Dahl will have live pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock tonight. The game will tip off at 7 o'clock in Coke Arena. You can listen to all that on 103.7 KEYN. Then after the game, Bob Lutz and Jeff Lutz will take your phone calls tonight on the Shocker Locker Room Show, broadcasting live at Twin Peaks in East Wichita, 21st and Rock, as the Shocker basketball team begins a three-game homestand. Speaking of the Shocks, a former Shocker had a massive night in the NBA last night. The first-place Toronto Raptors, in fact, the best team in the NBA, the Toronto Raptors, getting another win, going out to L.A. and easily handling the Clippers, who are one of the top four teams in the West. Raptors win it 123-99, a huge night for Wichita State, former point guard Fred VanVleet. And here's some of the action on the Raptors radio network. Fred keeping a drive alive with a rebound.
Kicks to DeLon Wright. Tees up another three. No good. Long rebound. VanVleet gets it. Kicked it to Siakam into the corner. Lowry three. Got it again. Cleanly splashing the bottom of the well for Lowry. He's got 21 and he's feeling it, Jack.
Kwame Leonard was out for the Raptors with a bruised right hip, and that meant Fred VanVleet got the start at point guard for the Raptors. And Fred got 6 rebounds. He got 5 points. He had a career-high 14 assists. Fred VanVleet putting up the numbers last night in another big win for Toronto.
The one thing I've always said about that guy, watching him play, is he sees the floor better than anybody I've ever
watched. The fun part about watching him play.
He can see everything, and he dishes it up. Great, great player.
Yep. 14 assists last night. Another win for the Raptors.
Yeah.
We've got basketball action tonight out at Friends University in West Wichita. The Friends men and women hosting Kansas Wesleyan. The women start out at 6 o'clock, the men afterwards. The Friends women have won 4 in a row. The Friends men have won 3 straight. The Shocker women were at Coke Arena yesterday afternoon on School Kids Day. More than 7,000 kids on hand, and they got to see the Shocker ladies beat Grambling State 70-61. Shia Smith, 15 points, 8 rebounds. Shocker ladies snap a 3-game losing streak, now 6-4 on the season. We've got JUCO men's basketball tonight in El Dorado. Butler Community College hosting Northwest Kansas Tech. It'll be the last home game for the Grizzlies for a month before they go on Christmas break. El Dorado action tonight. Dennis Higgins will have live coverage at 7:15 tonight for Butler basketball. That's on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM. 50 years ago on this night, an interesting game at Levitt Arena for Shocker basketball. The Shockers beat 19th-ranked Iowa 93-88 at Levitt Arena. Ron Washington led the Shocks with 30 points that night. But it was a game of particular interest because of who the visiting head coach was for Iowa. It was Ralph Miller, the former longtime Wichita State head coach, who left the Shockers to go to Iowa. And then that night was the first time Ralph came back as the visiting coach, and Shockers put the hammer on him, beat him 93-88. Ralph only appeared twice at Levitt Arena as the visiting coach. That was the first time it happened. It was 50 years ago tonight.
Now, he went on to be coach at Oregon?
And then he went to Oregon State for about 19 or 20 years, which
is
was his final stop.
Is that where he was coaching when he came back?
Yeah, he brought Oregon State in once in the 80s, I think.
That's it. Ralph Miller, coaching those great teams in the mid-60s.
Here. Oh, yeah. He was an offensive mastermind.
Yep.
He had some great players along the way.
He did. That it?
Sports with Steve and Ted.
Day 22 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Politics and a possible government shutdown. Sean's going to talk about it. That's coming up. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.